Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Welcome to the program, Classical Arabic, the language of revelation. I am your host, Imam Sadiq Jihad. And before I go into the lesson for this evening, I want to do the commercial to encourage you to secure the book entitled The Language of Revelation, Classical Arabic Instruction with Exercises and Quran Commentary. You can secure the book by going to SadiqJihad.com. That's SIDDEEQJihad.com. Or you can email me at Sadiq@msn.com. So inshallah, what we're going to do this evening is go over the first form conjugation and also explain to you what the first form conjugation implies or indicates. I'm coming from page 84 of my book entitled The Language of Revelation in Arabic, Lugatut Tanzil. The first form of the Arabic verb has to do with declaring something to be true or untrue. You can say the first form goes right to the point of the position or statement and so on. Right to the point. A classic example, Allah says in the Quran about himself, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةَ. That is Surah 6, verse 54, a portion thereof. Your Lord has written or ordained on himself the rule of mercy. Another example, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. He created the humanity from a leech-like piece of flesh. This is Surah 96, verse 2. Another first form example I want to give, it happens to be the present tense or indicative tense of the verb fa'ala, and that is yaf'alu. But what we're going to do today, inshallah, is go over the first form, past tense. But by way of example of the first form in action in the present tense, I give this portion of Ayah 27 of Surah 14:27. And it says, وَيَفَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. That is, and Allah does what he wills. That's the fact. In fact, Allah says in the Quran that he is فَعَلُّ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. The professional doer of all that he intends without any restrictions, opposition, or limitation. فَعَلُّ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. Another example, using the past tense of the first form, Surah 16, verse 75, a portion thereof, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا, that is, Allah sets forth a parable. We know he sets forth many parables and many metaphors in the Quran, and we know that these metaphors are not there just to be known only by Allah himself, but to be known by those who study the book with taqwa and rational intellect. Praise be to Allah. Continuing, we have another example in the Surah 26, verse 19, where Allah says, وَفَعَلْتَ فَعَلَتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ. Portion of that ayah. And you did your deed that you did. This is Fir'aun trying to put Musa on a guilt trip about him having the encounter with the man that he passed a judgment on and had to split from the city. Again, the Ta'awta is the first form, going right to the point. Ba'alataka, your deed, allegedly that you did, telling him twice that you did it, Musa. Trying to get him to be on a guilt trip. All right. And then I give you the very first ayah that we believe the Prophet Muhammad received, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So here we have Iqra, which happens to be the first form, command, proclaim. I didn't say read. Proclaim in the name of your guardian evolver, alladhi who khalaqa, created. The khalaqa is the first form verb on the measure of what we call fa'ala. One last example before we go over the actual conjugation. This is a portion of the ayah 27 of Surah 48. Allah says, "Laqad sadaqallahu rasulahu ruhya bilhaqqi." That is, truly did Allah fulfill the vision for His messenger. And now we go to the conjugation. But before we do the conjugation, I want to encourage you to commit to this process, and that is learn the independent pronouns along with the verb conjugation. If you do that, it will help you greatly, I believe. So the independent pronouns first, we have ana, aleph with fathah, nun with fathah, aleph lif means the fathah sound, pronunciation, ana, meaning I. Stands alone by itself. It literally means I. First person, singular. Next we have enta. Enta means you, masculine, singular. Aleph fatha, a. Nun sukun, tied in with the a. And then we have ta. Fatha. So enta. You, feminine singular, is N-T, sound like auntie. N-T, that's feminine singular in the second person. You, feminine singular. Next pronoun, huwa. Huwa meaning he. Next one, hiya, meaning she. Hiya, no air coming out with that H. The other H at the top of the Arabic alphabet has air coming out with it, as in the case of Ar-Rahman, the merciful benefactor. Next we have the first person plural, which is we. And it is pronounced Nahnu. Nun fatha followed by ha with sukun, then the nun with dam. Nahnu. Nahnu. Next one is entum. Entum. This is you all, masculine plural, using the old Southern English, y'all, masculine plural. You all, masculine plural. Next one is you all, feminine plural, or y'all, feminine plural. Entun. Entun. Aleph fatha, nun sukun, ta with dhamma, then the nun with shadda fatha, and tunna. Next we have the pronoun they, masculine plural, or third person masculine plural. That's three or more in Arabic. And it is hum. Ta with dhamma means sukun. Next we have they, feminine plural. Hunna. Hunna. That's ta with dhamma with the nun shadda fatha. The next one, we have three duals to conclude the 13 conjugation. That is entuma. Entuma. Entuma meaning you, masculine or feminine dual, could be two males, two females, or a male and a female. The next one, huma, this is they, masculine dual, two pronoun for they feminine dual is the same. Huma. It's ha with dhamma, mean with fatha, nothing with the alif. Okay? So we're going to go over in some type of rhythm in hopes that you will go back to the archives and master them and also read them as well. If you happen to have the book, please go from the book. If not, sure, there are other books out there that you can get the independent pronouns from and master them. So that's, again, ana, anta, anti, hua, hiya. Nahnu, antum, antunna, hum, hunna, antuma, huma, huma. Again, ana, anta, anti, huwa, hiya, nahnu, antum, antunna, antuma, huma, and huma for a second time. Inshallah. So I pray Allah that you will be serious about learning the language and commit some time to apply that which you learn about the Arabic language to the study of the Glorious Quran to enrich yourself and enrich others. Inshallah. So now we're going to go over the actual conjugation. And we use the verb fa'ala to help you understand the paradigm or the pattern of the verb, inshallah. So here we have the first one using fa, ayn, and lam. Fa'altu. What is fa'altu? I did. So you want to associate in your mind that the ta with the dhamma following the triliteral verbal root denotes I. So tie in your mind, if you will, the ta with dhamma denotes I. The next one, you masculine singular, is anta, the pronoun, and the verbal conjugation is fa'alta. So you can see clearly, if you remember the independent pronoun, anta, you just take the ta off of the pronoun and put it on the end of the verbal root, the triliteral verbal root. When I say triliteral, we're talking about three letters. And you put the ta with fatha on the end of it. And we have the al-ta. Next, we have the independent pronoun anti. Fa'alti is the verbal pattern. And let me go back for a moment. The independent pronoun for I coming before fa'altu is ana. I'm sure many of you have heard the portion of the Quran where Allah says, "Kul innama ana basharun mithlukum." Say to them, Muhammad, that you are only a flesh and blood mortal human being like them. "Kul innama ana basharun mithlukum." Continuing on, now we have the independent pronoun he, and it is huwa, huwa. The verbal conjugation is fa'ala, fa'ala. So far we have given you fa'altu, meaning I did, fa'alta, meaning you masculine singular did, fa'alti, you feminine singular did, and now fa'ala. Three letters, three fatha. This is the verbal form, third masculine singular, that most dictionaries and lexicons are structured upon. Fa'ala. If I said to you, kataba, that means he wrote. So just by having three fathas and three letters, you will come to know in most instances that is a verb in the third masculine singular pattern. I mentioned earlier, halakha, he created. I mentioned daraba, he struck or propounded something. And by the way, there's a sister from Iran who told the world some years ago that daraba also means to beat a path away from something. And this is very important in light of the fact that the non-Muslims will attack the Muslims and say that we can't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or God the Creator, has told the man that he can beat his wife lightly or at all. So she made it clear to the world, and I backed it up in my own mind by looking at the Lane's Lexicon under the entry, and it does say it means to beat a path away from something rather than to beat the wife. So continuing on, we have the next conjugation here. Hiya, which is she, the independent pronoun. The alat, the alat. And notice there's a ta with the sukun. So you can see that that ta is being used pretty well. In fact, it's used in all of the four cases, if you will. It has fatha on it when we want to say you, masculine singular. The alta, then we have the altu in the I form with the dhamma. Then we take that same tie and put a kasra on it for you, feminine singular, and we say anti. Sounds like auntie, right? That's the independent pronoun. And then we just put the tie kasra on the verbal root, and we say the alti. Next one, which we mentioned already, we'll mention again, huwa ta'ala. He did. And you can see why they would use this ta'ala, because it means he did. So the word for verb itself is fi'lun. That is fa' with kasra, ayn sukun, fi'l. And then lam with dhammatan, fi'lun, verb. Praise be to Allah. So continuing on, now we go to the plurals. Nahnu is the plural for we. Verbal conjugation is fa'alna. That na ending is very important for you to remember. Nahnu fa'alna. Next, you masculine plural, y'all masculine plural. Antum, antum. Alif tata nun sukun, ta with dhamma, mean sukun. Antum. I think Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nasu antumu fuqara'u. O mankind, you are those who are in need. You all, speaking of all of us, even if I have $1 billion, I still am in need of Allah and I'm a part of the poor. Fuqara'u, if I don't have the richness of faith and richness of devotion to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is highly glorified and exalted as he. Sometimes I get a little excited, and I'll say, subhanahu, and I have to remember and remind myself, as I encourage you to remind yourself, there are no P's in Arabic. It's sub, like subaru, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuing, we have now the you feminine plural, or y'all feminine plural, independent pronoun. Antunna, the verbal conjugation is fa'altunna. I encourage you very strongly to go to page 94 of my book and commit this page to some semblance of memory, or at least recognition, if not memory, because this is going to be something that's consistent throughout the 15 forms of the Arabic verb. And I say 15 forms, but in reality, they're so similar that they're very easy to recognize and apply. Praise be to Allah. So next we have they, masculine plural, independent pronoun, whom, no air coming out with that H, whom, ha with dhamma means shukun, whom, H-U-M. Not hum. Hum. And the verbal conjugation is fa'ala. Pardon me. Fa'alu. Hum fa'alu. Hum fa'alu. And notice I said fa'alu. So this particular conjugation is the only one of the 13 that has a dhamma on the Lamb of the verb. When I say Lamb of the verb, we're talking about the third letter of the triliteral root. In fact, the Fa is the first letter of the triliteral root, and the Ayin is the second letter of the triliteral root. And as I mentioned, the Lamb is the third letter of the triliteral root. Fa'alu, Fa with Fatha is Fa. Ayin with Fatha is A as in Ali. Lamb with Dhamma is Lu, Fa'alu. Then we lengthen the Dhamma with the Wow. Lu, and then we have the Aleph following the Wow, and it's called the Guardian Aleph, meaning that it is guarding this word from the words to follow. It has no sound, but it is written in most cases, except in some of the conjugations that we call the Jussive conjugation and also the Subjunctive. That's something that we'll deal with down the road, inshallah. So next we have the independent pronoun, hunna. That's they, feminine plural. Hunna. The verbal conjugation is fa'aluna. Notice I'm shortening it real abruptly, the noon, fatha, fa'aluna. If I did not, and I said fa'aluna, you would be thinking that I'm saying we did. Where in fact I'm saying they, feminine plural, did by shortening the sound of the noon, fatha. So again, it's fa'aluna. Next, we have the three dual conjugations. And I give you the independent pronoun first, as I did earlier. Antuma, antuma. This is you, masculine and feminine, dual. Meaning two males, two females, or a male and a female doing something, if you're using the verbal root. Ta'ala. And you attach the tuma ending on the end, and the conjugation itself is fa'altuma. Fa'altuma, that is two people did something. Could have been two males, two females, or a male and a female. The next independent pronoun, they, masculine dual, is huma. 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 Ha with Dhamma, meaning with Fatha, followed by Aleph to lengthen it. The verbal conjugation is Fa'ala. Notice I'm lengthening the Lamb of the verb, or the third letter of the verbal root, Fa'ala. So if you would compare Fa'ala with the Hua form, the He form, which is Fa'ala, you see that it's just a matter of lengthening the Lamb Fatha with Aleph to derive that they did, that is, two masculine entities did something. And the last of the independent pronoun happens to be the same as the previous one. Huma, that's they, feminine, dual. The verbal conjugation is different, and it is fa'alata, that is five letters with fatha on it. Fa with fatha, ayin with fatha is ah, lam with fatha is la, ta with fatha. And then the Aleph is lengthening the ta. Fa'alata, fa'alata. Praise be to Allah. So let us continue. And I do want to encourage you, as I mentioned a moment ago, to commit these independent pronouns to memory, inshallah. So I want to just take a brief moment here to make a action here on this computer here. I'm a little slow in getting the studio to come up, and I don't know why it hasn't come up in terms of my phone number coming up on the switchboard here, and I don't see the switchboard being active right now for some reason, and I'm trying to do the lesson as I take a look at this switchboard to determine why it is not functioning. So just bear with me for a couple of minutes here, inshallah. For whatever reason, the studio is not coming up, so I'm going to continue on here. We have a verse in the Quran That is the question of the verse 1 of Surah 6. It's quite interesting to me that I remember reading in the Final Call magazine or newspaper, which I do pick up from time to time, see what's going on, if you will. I'm not one who wants to hold on to some of the mythology of yesterday. But at any rate, the article of the Imam's, the article that was transcribed from a lecture called The Theology of Time by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad many years ago was in the centerfold of the Final Call magazine. And it said in that particular lecture by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah grant him paradise for the truth and the good things that he did in the cause of advancing in the world in terms of being better human beings. Allah himself created himself over eons and eons and eons of time out of triple darkness. So I said to myself, there must be some verse in the Quran that is affronting that false statement. And I'm not knocking the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm just simply, you know, speaking the truth of the Quran. And so I got to studying it, and I said, well, let me start looking at where the word darkness and light is in the Quran, mainly darkness. I know usually darkness and light come together in many ayahs in the Quran. So I came up with this particular portion of the ayah 1 of Surah 6, and it says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa samawati wal arda wa ja'ala dhulumati wan nura. That is, the praise is to Allah who created the heaven and the earth, and he made the darkness and the light. So when we look at this particular ayah, we can see clearly that Allah is saying that he made this darkness and he made the light, he made the heavens, and he made the earth. So how could he himself be created out of that which he says that he has made? So we understand from the Bible and the Quran that Allah is the first and the last. We translated in from the Greek, he is Alpha and Omega. And then in the Quran, in the Surah 57, verse 3, we have the ayah where it says, Huwal awwalu wal akhiru wa zahiru wa batinu. That is, he is the first and the last, the evident, that is the most visible, and the hidden, and he has full knowledge of all things. Praise be to Allah. So here we want to understand, O Muslims, that Allah is the creator of time, he's the creator of light, he's the creator of darkness, and he's creator of the entire universe, and certainly the earth, which is a part of this universe. In fact, we know from the Quran and from the fact that Allah has blessed the scientists to understand, too, that we live in an expanding universe. There's a verse in the Quran that says that the paradise for the those who make the grave is bigger than the breadth and width of the universe as we know it. Praise be to Allah right now. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So continuing now, we want to go over the present tense conjugation. The present tense conjugation has, in many instances, prefixes as well as suffixes, whereas in the past tense, we only have suffixes, meaning endings on the end of the triliteral group. Praise be to Allah. So the first of the indicative case, I like to call it, to the present tense. I remember Imam Muhammad saying some years ago that there's really no present tense. Why? Because time keeps on moving into the future. You know, I changed that word from slipping to moving. Praise be to Allah. So we know that this moment that I am speaking right now is fleeting, it's gone. It'll never be again. So time does not go backward and forward. Allah was here, and He created the creation and time and all of that, and it's been moving and moving and moving. And I made the statement some years ago, well, not necessarily years ago, but recently also, that in the movie Superman, he was very despondent about the fact that Lois Lane was killed. So he, in an angry fashion, just flew up into the sky, grabbed the earth, and turned it back to the point when Lois Lane was alive. And I said to myself, I don't even believe that it is in the order that Allah has established for He Himself, Allah Himself, to be able to turn back the hands of time. As that song goes, if I could turn back the hands of time. So we have to accept that Allah Himself has set up rules and laws and whatnot that He Himself does not transgress against. Praise be to Allah. So continuing on, we have the pronoun again, I, which is ana. The conjugation for I am doing, like right now, is f'alu. F'alu. That is aleph with fatah. Hope you can visualize this in your mind. I'm coming from page 94 of my book. And if you don't have the book and you want to order it, you can order the book and then go back to the archives to follow the flow of what we're doing. And if you don't know the alphabet and the Arabic sound system, on page 26 of the book, if you master that, you probably will have the ability to understand the rest of the book. But I've tried to make it very, very user-friendly. Well, F-A-L-U, Al-Fatah, Fah with Sukun, meaning the rest on the letter. Sukun is a little circle above the letter. Remind you, in the printings that we have of the Arabic Quran, the Sukun symbol is not a circle. It's a darkened comma as opposed to a little circle. So, Aleph with Fatah, Fah with Sukun, Ayn with Fatah, which is Ah, as in Ali, and then Lam with Dhamma, which is Usa. The Dhamma looks like the Sukun in the Arabic printings of the most of the Quran, but the way you distinguish Dhamma from the Sukun is the fact that there is some white area in the middle of the Dhamma, if you will. So it's F-A-L-U. Next, you are doing. Masculine singular, that's Tef-A-L-U. Tef-A-L-U. That is Ta with Fatah, Fa with Sukun, Ayn with Fatah, Lam with Dhamma. Tef-A-L-U. So if you're following the flow of this, the independent pronoun for you, masculine singular, is anta. So instead of putting the ta on the end, as we did in the past tense, fa'alta, we put the ta at the beginning of the triliteral root. Ta with fatah, fa with sukun, that's taf, make an abrupt stop. Ayn with fatah, ah, and then Lamb with thumb, with the school sound. Tef, ah, lu. The next independent pronoun, we can go over it again for repetition in hopes that you will memorize them. N-T, that's you, feminine singular. So the past tense was fa'alti. We put the ta with the kasra on the end of the triliteral verbal root. Triliteral, as I mentioned earlier, means three letters. Triliteral. In the conjugation for it, it's a little bit longer than the previous ones. Tef-A-L-I-N-A. Tef-A-L-I-N-A. That breaks down as ta with fatah, ta with sukun, ayn with fatah, lam with kasra, followed by the ya to lengthen it, Tef Ali, the Nun with Fatha, Na. Tef Ali, Na. Tef Ali, Na. Okay? The independent pronoun for he is Huwa. So understand this language. I had to learn this language again when I started learning Arabic myself. I is the first person. You are the second person. He is the third person, as well as she being the third person in the feminine singular. So we're going to go over the now, pardon me, now the he form, and that is yaf'alu. Huwa yaf'alu. Yaf, that is ya with fatha, followed by fa with sukun, ayin with fatha, ah, lam with dhamma, yaf'alu. So the only difference between the I form, the you form, and the he form is the prefix. To denote I am doing something, we use the aleph. To denote you, masculine singer, is doing something, we use the ta. To denote he, third person singular, masculine, we use the ya. Next, the independent pronoun for she is he, ya. He, ya. The present tense or indicative tense conjugation, I believe it's called El Madrur in Arabic grammar. El Madi is the past tense. It's the same as the you masculine singular conjugation. And that is tef-a-lu. Tef-a-lu. That with fatha, that with sukun, ayin with fatha, lam with dhamma. You might say, oh, how can you tell if you masculine singular is doing the action or she is doing an action? Or you put the name of the male or the female to make it clear if you were writing a sentence or if you were just speaking as well. Next, we have the first person plural. What is that? We or more in Arabic. The independent pronoun is nahnu. Nun with fatha, ha with sukun, and noon with dhamma. Nah, no solar air coming out with that H. That H is the first H of the Arabic alphabet, and it is aspirated. Nah, nu, where the other H is not. If it was the other H at the bottom of the Arabic chart, just before the wow, it would be nah, nu, no air. But since it's the other H, you hear some air, nah, nu. And the verbal conjugation in the indicative tense, which is the same as present or imperfect tense, is nef'alu. Nef'alu. Nun with fatha, fa with sukun, ayin with fatha, lam, dhamma. Nef'alu. Next we have the independent pronoun, you all, masculine plural, antum. Antum, aleph fatha, nun sukun, ha with dhamma, mim sukun, antum. Antum. The conjugation is tef'aluna. Tef'aluna. That is ta with fatha, ta with sukun, ayin with fatha, ah, lam with dhamma, lu, lengthen with the wow. The wow is used to lengthen the u sound, as you might recall. The aleph is used to lengthen the fatha sound, and the ya is used to lengthen the kasra sound, or the e sound. Tef'alu na. So following the lengthening of the lam, we have nun fatha, which is na. That's why I said tef'alu na. Put it all together, tef'alu na. Next one is you, feminine plural. independent pronoun, and tun, and tun, conjugation for you, all, female group, three or more, are doing is tef'alun, tef'alun. Next we have the independent pronoun they, masculine, plural, whom, have with dhamma, mean with sukun. This is the second H. So the first H is ha, second H is ha. The conjugation for they, masculine, plural, is yef'aluna, yef'aluna. So if you're studying the chart, or you can just listen to me. You, masculine plural, is tef, starting with a T, aluna. They, masculine plural, is yef, starting with a ye, aluna. The only difference between the two. Moving on, the independent pronoun for they, feminine plural, is hunna. Hunna. Power, dhamma, noon, shedda, fatha. Hun, an abrupt stop on the first N, the shedda means to double, and the second N takes a sound. So hun na. The conjugation, verbal conjugation, they are doing is yef al na. Yef al na. You're following the flow, the you feminine plural, y'all feminine plural, is tef al na. So to derive it, they are doing. I just took the ta out and put the ya in, and we say yef aluna. So tef aluna for you feminine plural, and yef aluna for they feminine plural. The last of the conjugations, the three duals, and tuma is the independent pronoun. The conjugation, you two are doing, two males, two females, or a male and a female, tef Alani, tef alani. That is tawif fatha, tawif sukun. So tef sukun means to make an abrupt stop on the letter. Tef, make an abrupt stop on that F. Ah, and then lam with fatha, la, using aleph to lift it, la. Then nun, kesra, tef alani. The independent pronoun they, masculine dual, is uma. The present tense or indicative imperfect tense conjugation is yef alani, yef alani. Only difference between you masculine and feminine dual and the they masculine dual is removing the ta and putting the ya in to make they masculine dual, yef alani. And then the next one, huma, they feminine dual. The conjugation is the same as the you masculine feminine dual. Exactly the same, and that is tef alani. Tef alani. So I pray a lot that you will memorize these conjugations in the past tense and the present tense, because these conjugational endings and prefixes are standard throughout the 15 forms to a great degree. When I say that, we're saying that many times we have some what we call irregular verbs that follow different consistent patterns, inshallah. And now it's on my mind, there is a book out called 501 Arabic Verbs. You can get it at the major bookstores. And they also have one called 201 Verbs, but I'm assuming you would rather get 501 instead of 201. And it would be a very valuable tool as you continue your studies in the language of Revelation, Lugatut Tanzil. Praise be to Allah. So let me continue by trying to take a look at this switchboard to see what is going on. And I pray a lot that I am on the air, because it doesn't indicated I'm on the air, so I'm just wondering what is happening here on the Love Talk Radio. I hope it's not conspiratory in nature, but inshallah, we're going to get it done here. Inshallah. Inshallah. I see that I'm able to get to the upcoming show program, but I'm not able to get to what we call the studio, where I can see what callers I may have on the air. So why that is not happening, Allah knows, and perhaps someone else knows as well. Okay. So let me just mention the examples of the way you can negate the past tense and also negate the imperfect tense. Perhaps the imperfect tense is better than saying present tense. We have an ayah in the Quran that is 21:16, where it says, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. And that is, Allah says, not for idle sport or play did we create the heavens and the earth and all that is between. So here we have wa, which means declaring the fact, but sometimes it's translated as and, sometimes it's left untranslated. But ma, mean with fata, lifting with aleph, means not in front of a past tense verb. To be any of the forms, could be first form, ninth form, whatever form. It negates the past tense. So ma halachna. Khalakhna, that na ending meaning we, right? Khalakha is the verbal root meaning created. So na on the ending means we. So Allah says, and not we created the heavens and the earth and what is between the both of them in a state of playing. La'ibin. It's very interesting to note, too, that la'aba, lam, ayin, and ba, you look it up, it has the meaning also to dribble from the mouth like a baby does. When the baby just puts its fingers in its mouth and just dribble, dribble, and giggle and so on. Well, Allah is letting you and I know that he was not playing when he did what he did in terms of the creation of the heavens and the earth. In fact, you know, Prophet Muhammad has mentioned so many times, it really stuck to my heart the very first time he said it. He said, that Allah has sakhara, has rendered service and utility out of everything for the benefit of the homo sapiens, the human being. And that is really a beautiful thing to reflect upon, in the sense that that is telling us from the Quran that this whole universe is for our use and for our utility. So we got a lot of work to do, inshallah. I pray a lot of you do a lot during this generation. Let us continue. We have another ayah where Allah says in the Surah 9, verse 115, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُدِلَّ قَوْمًا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَاهُ. That is, and Allah does not mislead a people after he has guided them. So kana is a past tense verb, meaning he was. And so it's saying not he was, that is Allah, in respect to guiding people, or misleading people, pardon me, yudillah, misleading people, after when Hadahum, he has guided them. Praise be to Allah. So we must understand this in light of the Bible and the Quran. And we think that Allah told Moses to believe in one God and thou shalt have no other gods before me, and then say, no, I'm going to make the sun and you all to worship him. Do we want to believe that God says eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and then flip it and say, I know you've heard before times, allegedly in the mouth of Jesus, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, you should love your enemies, and if a stranger come to you and tell you to walk 1 mile, walk two, and if someone wants to sue you at the law, give up all of your belongings. I'm not giving it to you exactly in the English translation, but that's some of the verse out of Matthew, if I'm not mistaken. So it does not make sense to think that Allah would change what he has established and give one prophet one message and then give another prophet another message totally opposed to the initial message. Let me continue here. We have the ayah in the surah 93, verse 3. Ma wada'aka rabbuka wa ma khala. That is, thy guardian Lord has not forsaken you, and he is not displeased. This is addressing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after a time when he was not receiving revelation. He was wondering if he had done something wrong and proved himself unworthy to continue the mystic converse, if you will. So Allah is saying, without a doubt, Ma wada'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. Thy guardian Lord has not forsaken you. He is not displeased. Another example we have here is 26:2-10. Surah 26, verse 2:10, where it says, Wa ma tanazzalat bihi shayateen. That is, the Satan have not brought down this revelation. So the ma ending, pardon me, the ma in front of the verb here is telling you and I that we should say not be brought down with it, the shayateen. The shayateen being the subject in that ayah. The shayateen did not bring this down. Allah is making it point blank that the shayateen, that is the Satan, did not bring this Quran down. Praise be to Allah. So, I mentioned to you that I would tell you how to negate the present tense verb. The way you do that is by putting la in front of it. La. The first thing that comes to my mind when I hear the la in front of the imperfect tense verb is the phrase that's in the Quran more than once. Inna Allah la yuhibbul mu'tadin. Another, Inna Allah la yuhibbul muhsinin. First one, surely Allah does not love the transgressors, the mu'tadin, el mu'tadin. Then conversely, he says, surely he loves the excellent doers of good. Inna Allah la yuhibbul. Pardon me, Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. Taking the la out of it, pardon me, I made a mistake to put la in front of him loving the, not loving the good doers. It should be without the la. But here he has la when he's talking in the Surah 2, verse 190 about what he does not love. Again, Inna Allah la yuhibbul muhsinin. Surely Allah does not love al mu'tadin, those who transgress. And conversely, he says, Inna Allah yuhibbu al mu'tadin, without putting that in front of yuhibbu. So Allah is telling us in the Quran itself what he loves and what he does not love. So this idea of unconditional love is foreign to Al-Islam. In fact, it's very interesting that many times people will say, and they do this from the hadith literature, that you should not go more than 3 days without giving your brother the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum. So I'm looking in the Quran the other day, and there's an ayah that says, and turn away from them and say salam. So I'm saying to you that in some instances, you don't want Allah to invoke the peace that he has to a no good person. Even in the Surah 68, Allah talks about the Zanim. Get a chance, look it up. And I looked it up, and Zanim means like the wattles that you see on a goat, look like pieces of flesh that kind of look like earrings on the sides of their ears. And so the commentator on that particular word, I believe Muhammad Asad, and also in the lexicon you'll find, says that the Zanim is suggesting that that person or that being has no use in the social order. And we know Allah has said in the Quran too, that some people are fuel for the fire. So let us not take the idea of allowing no good and rotten people to receive the greeting of Assalamu Alaikum, because we don't want the peace of God on the wrongdoers. And Allah does not want peace on them either. He says to us that he will be punishing them in this life and the next. So let me continue here, and I pray, Allah, that you understood that in the spirit in which I intended it. And that is for good and for balance, inshallah. So I want to tell you now how you put something in the future tense. And the way you do it is by simply using sawfa. What is sawfa in terms of Arabic letters? Seen with fatha, waw with sukun, that's the diphthong, so it's saw, and then fa with fatha, sawfa. Or we can use simply sa, the seen with fatha, in front of the imperfect tense verb. That's how you make the future tense. We have an example in the Quran, Surah 55, verse 31, where Allah says, "Tanafurugu lakum ayyuhal thaqalan." That is, soon shall we settle your affairs, O both of you worlds. Worlds. What worlds are he referring to? I believe a Muslim is referring to the jinn world and the human world. Another example in the Surah 102, verse 3, Allah says, "Kalla sawfa ta'lamun," but nay, you soon shall know the reality. Another example, 93:4. وَلَا سَوْفَ يُؤْتِكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. What is the imperfect tense verbs here? The ones that are following سَوْفَ. So let me go back. سَ is used. I mentioned to you sometimes to understand سَوْفَ. We just put a scene with فَتَّى. And the verb in the imperfect tense is نَفْرُغُ. Nafurugu. Again, the Nafurugu, Lakum, Ayuhel, Bakhalan, 55:31. Then we have Kella, Saufa, and then the verb in the imperfect tense, Ta'alamun, you all are knowing, or you all will know. Kella, Saufa, Ta'alamun, but soon shall you know the reality. This is Allah referring to the fact that those of us who put material conquest void of piety and devotion, appreciation of Allah above what I the latter, then they will soon know the reality of that being a bad way to live when they visit the graves in the Surah 102. So the point we're making here is that Allah is telling us that for certain, we should not be in the spirit of keeping up with the Joneses, just piling up material things and not having a focus or a concern for piety and zakah and devotion to Allah. Subhana wa ta'ala. And he's highly glorified and exalted. You see. Another example, we have Fakat كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما. That is, undoubtedly, you have indeed given the lie to Allah's message, in parentheses, and in time, this sin will stick to you. This is Allah saying this in the Surah 25, verse 77. Praise be to Allah. So I'm going to stop there. And I pray Allah that this presentation has come out into the cyberspace and to also the telephone airwaves, because I don't have my number being shown on the studio of Blog Talk Radio for whatever reason. So I'm going to close now by encouraging you again to secure the book entitled The Language of Revelation. I'm giving a special Ramadan price of $25. That includes shipping and handling, along with two instructional CDs that will help you master the Arabic alphabet and the sound system. And in the meantime, there are some beginning lessons on the archives of Station IWDM. The way you get the book is send the $25 to Post Office Box 40-1165, Redford, Michigan, Redford, Michigan, 4820, inshallah.
Sadiq,
right.
Excuse me,
Assalamu alaikum.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
This is Khaled, and I heard earlier that you were not able to get to the studio, and so I jumped on in. And I just took on to help out if I could.
Have I been broadcasting?
No, I'm here.
Was I broadcasting at all?
You're broadcasting, yes. You did a wonderful job.
Oh, okay, I didn't know if it was being heard or not, yeah.
You can hear it very much. So my phone is kind of acting up on me. But I want to remind everybody that you're going to be my guest tomorrow night at Wednesday on a conversation with the papers where everybody who's involved with Station IWM is to be there. We're going to have a conversation and share and our hopes and dreams about what we, each of us are doing on our programs. And we invite questions from the audience to or statements of concern, you know, to talk with us, to communicate with us what their ideas, and have a type of, a day to see how we're doing with them and them and what they want, too. So I invite everybody to join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, right here on Station IWDM.
Thank you
very
much. And I look forward to being in your company.
Same here, bro. Same here.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay, so I'm
going
to close
out. Are you about to close the program?
Yes, but what I was trying to do, I was trying to upload a program and whatnot, and I had pre-recorded about 2 hours ago, so I just had to do it live, and I had a program I was going to do, a rerun of the talk I gave called The Pure Proclamation. So, inshallah, I can do that next week. And I don't go beyond what I did today because I hadn't really, prepared to give more than that. I don't want to give too much, today and perhaps overdo it here, inshallah.
Well, the wonderful thing about having this particular technology is that people can go to our archives and people can download our programs. They can make a CD out of it to hear it at their own leisure, or they can have an audio file which they can put in a folder in their computer. They can hear it through the computer, anytime they want, audio file. And so it's no excuse, And
right.
I think. So they have opportunities. But it's very easy to learn how to go through the motions into obtaining the material that you're hearing.
I want
people to know that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So, with the book, It costs $25. That's amazing, you know. I think I'll save my bucks and contact you and say, it's on his way, Sadiq. I'll give him a book.
Well, I put a lot of stuff book and take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. I hope that I could be of service more to more people. Praise be to Allah. But it has helped some, the advertising that I do, and this program that you have availed to me, I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate you very much. And I know you got my post I left yesterday. Did you get it?
Say that again. I got your what?
Did you get my post regarding the sword fight?
Yes, I saw it. Well, thank you for your comments, you know.
I tell you, that really charged me up. I was just so excited about the clarity of the expression, and really the expression that you gave was short and very succinct, and also very powerful. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I told brother already that this particular engagement I'm in with this particular fellow, it has made my faith stronger and have clarity of the thinking process. It's just zoom, you know, and I have no doubt what I'm trying to do is help our community to take matters in their own hands and manage their own affairs rather than the outsiders, quote unquote, judge things for us, you know, and spend a whole lot of money and let them do it. You know, I think it's a lot of room for, no doubt, it's a lot of room for us to, and a lot of work for us to do to get where we need to be as believers in God and having our own community established. By the way, think about that, this Thursday night, you know, we have a program called Lectures of Imam Muhammad, and it's going to be a fantastic lecture that's titled mm-hmm. Community Life.
Mm-hmm.
Our collective objective. And this is
what
in the 1990s. But it's fantastic. And I really, really encourage people to take out time to listen to that, you know. We know that Ramadan's coming up, and but this is important, just as important to take care of needs that we have, you know, that's very, that's being unattended. And we want to bring the consciousness to our people so they can, act accordingly, you know. We want to
mm-hmm.
improve education, we want to improve family life, we want to improve business life, and it's all a part of our community life, responsibility that we have. So there's no, anybody who tries to push us down, hey, I would say cut off their hand, not literally, but cut off their access to trying to dissuade you from being a live human being with qualities of excellence that God has given to you. So don't be fooled. That's what I'm saying.
That's what we want to do. Just keep forging ahead and trying to enlighten the people and free the people and free ourselves from any kinds of oppression.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
And recognize the games, you know. There's a lot of game out there. You know how it is. Like God says in the Quran that the shaitan, he's before you, he's behind you, he's on your right, he's on your left, you know. That's Quran, you know. And he also says that he has no power over you. The only power that the shaitan has is to invite you, you know. And you come into problems when you accept his invitation.
That's right.
So, you know, so it all comes from being aware of what's going on, being conscious, seeing what's real, and making a choice, you know, your decision. That's just so important, you know, the way you decide to be influenced. You know, a friend could be influenced by something negative and try to influence you. But you love your friend, but you're supposed to say no. It's all lie to say no, because it's not good for our future, and it hurts our chances to achieve and all that, you know. So,
yeah.
I don't like to fight. I'm a man of peace, but you know, if you disturb my peace, I'm gonna get you. You know, and I'm glad God made it that way.
That's right. He has made it that way. He said,
writing is prescribed for you, even though you may dislike it.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well,
we can't know
and
this. Yeah.
What's that?
So I don't want, you know, I'm trying to stay away from it, but I got to talk about it, you know. And I'll put on a post today, too, that try to clarify matters. And I know that Ramadan's coming up. We're not supposed to argue, you know. But even with that, I know during the Prophet's time, it was Ramadan and people were attacking the Muslims. And Muslims had to fight. You know, they had no choice. So I felt really important matters, you know, and plus individual things, too, you know. Sometimes you get confused about the rituals, I think, and you just go along just to go along, you know. And I feel that we defend ourselves and assert ourselves in certain instances. So I do plan to complete my Ramadan, complete all the rituals, all the fasting, all the prayers, everything, reading the Quran, you know, look forward to it with great anticipation, you know, that time.
Yeah.
And it's right around the corner. Yeah. And I don't want to be caught in the armor with anybody, but I think God has showed me how I can chill out at the same time, but still be assertive in areas that should be assertive for us. And other people may misunderstand my actions, but that's something I can't help. You know, I know I'm accountable for me, and I try to protect the innocent as much as I can, you know, and educate as much as I can. And all that, you know, but you're going to just color or read a situation the way you want to read it rather than let the situation present itself as it is, you know, that's not my fault, you know, that's not my, whatever, I can't help that. I'm just good intent.
That's why I had, you know, the obligation to respond to that, you know. It's like I told him, you don't want centralization, you want association, right?
That's right. And that's what it's called for, so I don't know how it can be confused over and over and over again.
We don't set up these kind of arbitration things within ourselves. You know what's going to happen.
Right.
We're going to have to go up to the courts and give them some money to adjudicate the stuff that we should be able to decide and work out amongst ourselves. So I don't see how anyone could be against wanting us to have some type of conflict resolution system in the community. You know?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I heard a little bit of what you said, a little bit of static that came out.
Let's just go ahead and make comments about Ramadan, because I know it's my intention to have the first day on July the 9th, and let me tell you and others why. I looked on the internet and I saw that the black moon, which is the moon that has no light from the sun reflecting upon it that we could see from this side, is going to be something like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on July the 8th, which is Monday, next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called an astronomer some years ago up in Toledo. And he told me that we know for sure from our moon charts, just like we have sun charts for prayer, that between, he said, 10 to 12 hours or 10 to 14 hours, that first sliver of light is present somewhere in the world. And if that's true, and I believe it is, then that means that from, let's say, at 3 a.m. on Monday, early morning, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's 12 hours. I can't remember exactly what time Black Moon was. It was something in the morning, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sure at this point. But at any rate, if you add 12 hours to 3 o'clock, that's 3 in the afternoon. Then you add another 2, making it 14. That's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So I know that that first sliver of light marking the dawn of enlightenment. And when I say enlightenment, I'm talking about mental enlightenment, not physical light. But that's what this Quran is about, mental enlightenment. And so that tells me that next morning on July 9th, that sliver of light marking the dawn of enlightenment is there and ready to go. So if you want to be one who goes over the hadith and the tradition over the comment in the Quran, where Allah says, "As shamsu wal kamaru
Yehush Ban, that is, the sun and the moon follows courses exactly computed. Mm-hmm. The word is Hush Ban.
Right.
And if you look at any Arabic dictionary, the word Hisab with Kasra means arithmetic or mathematics. So we know that the Muslims have conceded that sun charts are good, but we got sun charts all over the place on what time Maghrib is, what time all the Salah is, and the standard reason
right.
that we sophisticate ourselves enough where we have moon charts as well. And I pray a lot that perhaps this year I get an opportunity to speak with this astronomer, one of the astronomers there at the University of Toledo again, to get some more preciseness on the 10 to 12 hours or 10 to 14 hours. And so many times people have a tendency to want to declare when Ramadan starts, that they have a sense of power and influence. So I'm not mentioning this for a sense of power and influence. I'm mentioning this for a sense of trying to have some type of regard and respect for the order that Allah has established in the movement of the moon, the movement of the sun, and so on. And so the reason why we look at the sliver of light is because it is a symbol of the beginning of the dawn of enlightenment for the human mind. Praise be to Allah.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yes, conclude our Fatiha now, and I look forward to speaking with you tomorrow, 8 o'clock on your program. All right?
Sounds great. Yeah, thank you.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
We're going to conclude now with Al-Fatiha. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. I wish you all a Ramadan Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa jannatuhu. That is, the peace of God be upon you, his mercy, his blessing, and his paradise when you go 6 feet under, or if you're blown up in a plane in the smithereens and don't get under the soil. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa jannatuhu.